It's deck days at Lowe's, and the savings are stacked. Right now, pros get 15% off all in-stock composite decking from top brands like Trex, TimberTech, and Deckorators. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt tool. The deck's stacked in your favor with brands pros trust. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hello, friends. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to let you know that we have a new merch collection out. We haven't come out with merch in a couple of months, so we have a really cute spring collection. All of the shows have new designs, which I'm very excited about. The Sesh has very cutesy designs. We've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got totes, we've got tumblers, we've got tank tops, we've got baby tees, we've got cropped tank tops, we've got it all. So there's definitely something for everyone over at milehighermerch.com. Also, just a reminder that 100% of the proceeds from any merch, from any show, goes directly to the Higher Hope Foundation to help support victims of violent crimes, as well as other nonprofits who are in the same scope of work. So get yourself some cute merch for the springtime and also, you know, help out a great cause as well. So yeah, happy shopping. Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Sesh. I'm Janelle.
I'm Sydney. I didn't know you usually introduce us.
I know. I don't know why. I felt like you introduced yourself. We have Sydney, and we're joined again by Haley. Hey, Queen.
Hi.
Really quick, thanks for all your love last week, guys, on the episode with Ian.
Yes.
That was a fun one, and I'm glad that you guys allow him into what many of you consider as girl time. He's always fun to record with, and yeah, it was a good time for sure. So maybe we'll bring him back on the show. And yeah, it was a great episode. Sydney and I are in the midst of creating a charcuterie board.
Yes.
So, okay, right before we started recording, which P.S., I'm about to say something so controversial. Do you know shrimp chips are very controversial.
Why?
Because people either love them or think they're the most disgusting things in the world.
That's weird.
A shrimp chip will tear a whole country apart.
Wow.
Shrimp chips are one of my favorite snacks in the world. Okay, so sound off below if you guys like them or not, because I'm curious to see which people think it's disgusting, which people like them. But I had them out on the table here because I don't want to crinkle the wrapper when I'm taking them out. So I put them here, and then Haley was like, oh my God, it's like a charcuterie board. So we're adding to our charcuterie board with our Flaming Hot Cheetos. Go ahead, Sid, add some in. Which, by the way, have you tried the Flaming Hot Cheetos that have the, like, they're like the naked ones without the red flavoring?
No. Wait, what do they taste like then?
Flaming Hot Cheetos. They just are like no red dye. It's RFK red Flaming Hot Cheeto, I've been calling it.
I need to get those because, okay, I think I've told you this before, but my biggest thing before getting on an airplane is I always get the hot fries. Ew. I always get those before a flight, and then I get a Bloody Mary, and I dip my Cheeto in the Bloody Mary. It's really good. Okay,
I don't judge you for that.
But
that sounds honestly like probably could be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's a really great flight trip, flight snack. But the one issue is like you never have enough napkins on an airplane. And I just am not prepared like that. So right. I have like the little baby napkin that the attendant gives me, and I end up standing up with like red crap all over me after a flight.
You need the naked ones. They honestly taste pretty much the exact same. It's just kind of a mind fuck because they're like white. They're like completely bare.
I want to get
But they're spicy. Have I told you about my story with the Flaming Hot Cheetos on the plane when I legit almost died?
Yeah, I feel bad. Well, I don't really know. What are the details again?
I was just on a plane by myself and I inhaled a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos. Like it was no one's business, and then chugged Dr. Pepper.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
And like we were starting to descend for landing, so the seatbelt sign was on, so I couldn't get up. I legit, you know, when you like get hot, sweaty. Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm going to shit my pants. And I felt so nauseous. I was like, I mean, they're going to throw up or shit my pants on this flight.
That's the worst. You know, like when your mouth gets kind of like
watery,
like, mm-hmm. Ooh, like what, your glands mm-hmm. are.
And I had no one to talk to. I was by myself. I was freaking out. I'm at the back of the plane. So it took forever to get off. I'm like, I got so dizzy. I was like, I can't even stand up. I was like, I can't deboard this plane. I'm going to have to tell someone, like, sorry, I can't deboard.
The Cheetos and the Dr. Pepper.
I was like, I'm sick. Luckily, I was able to get off the plane. I had to really focus. So I was like, okay, Chanel, you just got to get off the plane. And if you pass out in the airport, who cares? But you just got to get off the plane. And then you go to a bathroom and lay in a stall.
Did you feel like you needed to, like, go to the bathroom?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Was it like...
It was... I felt like it was going to come out of all holes at once. And I was so scared.
Have you ever gotten sick on an airplane? Like, no, in
dude,
your seat?
No. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that seems...
Have you thrown up on a plane?
I have... No, my sister has. It's okay. She'd be fine with me telling you this. It was, like, one of her first flights, long flights on her own. It was, like, during college. She was doing this thing through her church. And so, she had to fly all the way to Jersey from California. And she gets, like, bad motion sickness. And so she, like, this is so, she said it was so embarrassing, but she's, like, on the plane with, like, a lot of the people that were doing this, like, work for her church type of thing. She's sitting in, like, the middle seat, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm going to throw up. But I can't, she couldn't get up in time. So she, like, threw up in the bag. And then I was, like, and the people, I'm, like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, Victoria, but I would be so grossed out if someone threw up next
to me. Oh, I'd be disgusted. I'd feel bad for them and also be irritated as fuck.
Oh, same. I don't know if I could sit there.
Why didn't she just get up?
She said it just, like, happened so fast.
Oh,
and I was
dude,
like,
that's fucking brutal.
I, like, felt bad for the people next to her, too. She's like, I know. She's like, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm so happy that's never happened to me.
Yeah, no, I've never puked on a flight. And I've never gotten, like, the shits on a flight either.
Yeah, I kind of, like, clog it up in the air.
Ew.
No, I mean, like, no, not clog up the bathroom.
Oh, you mean, like, your butthole. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta clog it up. I'm just like, what the hell? Wait, new fear unlocked. What if all the toilets got clogged? It's like Poop Cruise. You ever seen that documentary?
Kind of was talking about it.
Did
you watch it?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was, like, funny.
I think Lights Out covered it.
They did. Disgusting. Like, for sure, one of the nastiest things I feel like could ever happen to someone. But I thought it was funny.
It was like, well, I felt bad for the old lady we talked about that.
Oh, yeah, shit all over the plane.
And it was like dripping down.
Yeah.
It'd be really rough.
Anyway, so that's why we're eating our snacks today.
Yes.
But we're really here to discuss the major feud, if you will, between Alex Cooper and Alex Earle. This is like, I feel... like, the only thing on my For You page right now.
Yes, the only thing.
And I have some thoughts that I would like to share. And we're going to kind of break it down as best we can. But, yeah, should we go ahead and just...
Let's do it.
Get into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys seen the person calling it blonde-on-blonde action?
That's fucking funny.
Oh, wait, no. Blonde-on-blonde violence.
Wow. Okay. I've seen a lot of people being like, I thought they were the same person.
Oh,
like,
so many
like, there's
people.
Two different Alexes.
Yes. Well, and that's made it really confusing for a lot of people. They're like, and they're blonde.
Right.
So, yeah, they just.
They honestly look, I mean, somewhat similar, all things considered.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just get into it now. Obviously, they have the same name. There's hello. There's A-L-I-X and A-L-E-X, but we're just going to break it down and call them by their last names, Cooper and Earle, okay?
Say we did do the first names. No one would know anything.
Yeah, Alex this, Alex that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Alex Cooper. If you guys are aware who she is, I'd be surprised because she's like one of the biggest names in podcasting. But she is the host of the Call Her Daddy podcast, which we have talked about several times before. We actually spoke about her documentary, Call Her Alex, when it first came out. I thought it was a really interesting documentary. Well done. I've always had a lot of respect for Alex Cooper, just as a businesswoman and entrepreneur. So we've mentioned her in the past. But yeah, she started her podcast back in 2018 with someone else called, her name is Sophia Franklin, and they started the show together back, like I said, in 2018, and it was picked up by Barstool Sports about a month after the first episode aired, and they ended up having a falling out, and going their separate ways. And Alex Cooper kept Call Her Daddy and has continued on as like a solo show. And she's, I mean, grown the show. It's a massive show. It's now, it's consistently ranked as like one of the top shows in the charts and the podcast charts. She has interviewed tons of celebrities, A-list celebrities, other podcasters. She's interviewed Michelle Obama. She interviewed Kamala Harris back during the election. And yeah, she started Unwell, which is a entire company, and she has signed other podcasts under that
her network.
She's produced TV shows. Have you watched her show that she produced on Hulu, Love Overboard?
No, I've seen like little clips of it on TikTok. I just haven't like committed.
I think you would
to
like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I watched it a couple weeks ago just because I wanted to see what it was about. It's pretty interesting. It's like, you know, very much along the lines of the ridiculous dating shows that are popping up everywhere. But I thought it was
Gabby
Windy.
See, that's why I wanted to like check it out. I also, have you watched the Winter Games?
I watched the first episode. Have you?
I like keep seeing clips about it, but I don't know. I don't know why.
I watched the first episode. It was all right. I don't know. I haven't watched since. But yeah, Gabby Windy hosts the Love Overboard show.
Okay.
And it's you know, stupid dating drama. It's pretty entertaining because they're all in this fucking yacht. And like, depending on like the challenges and stuff, half of them are like having to like supposedly work for the, so like half of them get to be in the nice part of the yacht, and then the other half are like the losers basically in the underneath part where like the staff works, and so they're like having to cook for them and clean for them, and so the whole thing is like they're trying to get on top again with their partner. And
oh, so it's like a teammate kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. But then there's like, because they're like dating each other, and then they're like, oh, so and so, my person that I'm interested in is on top, so like I want to bring them with me. It's,
yes,
you know the typical.
Is that the show that there was this guy that like got a bad haircut and had to like FaceTime? He like begged producers for his,
yes,
phone and like cried about his haircut to his mom.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that is that show.
Also, I saw that Alex Cooper is going to make her acting debut.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Verity.
Yeah, Verity. Which Kendall's obsessed with that book.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that will be. And she's playing herself in it too, so it's not like she's acting as like a,
right,
which will be kind of cool.
So, anyways, back to Call Her Daddy the podcast. Though Sophia and Alex basically had a deal with Barstool Sports. Supposedly what happened is they were under contract and Alex felt like she was deserving of more money from Barstool because the show was blowing up and doing quite well. And according to her, she was doing a lot more work than her co-host, Sophia. And so she went to Dave Portnoy and asked for more money and tried to like renegotiate her contract.
I thought it was for both of them.
I see, and this is where I get confused, because I've heard it was for just herself and that Sophia was like, no, let's just hang on to it for one more year. And
I thought it was
no,
opposite.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think you guys are mixing it up. I'm pretty sure that she went to Dave to get her salary increase, and they did. And then they wanted to renegotiate the show as a whole. That's two different incidences, I'm pretty sure.
But then Alex was the one that said, let's just... I think Alex was the one that was like, let's write it out.
Yeah.
For another year.
Oh,
and then we,
yeah,
can go,
right,
be on our own.
Yeah, she did do that too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, obviously, Alex has spoken on this to a degree.
Briefly. I would say Sophia did some more speaking on it.
Sophia has, who now has her own podcast, Sophia with an F, has talked about it. But there's never been, like, I don't think, a real answer as to what happened. It's very, like, a lot of people have heard different stories. And so Sophia is actually coming out with a book called Daddy Issues. Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
A memoir in November, where she supposedly is going to include a lot of details of the fallout with Alex Cooper. Anyone who's a parent knows that feeding decisions are not just a one-time thing. You make them over and over and over again. And too often, the options out there, whether you're feeding a baby, a toddler, or even a big kid, just don't meet the standards you want for your child. Parents are constantly asked to compromise on ingredients, nutrition, transparency, even safety. And it really makes you wonder, why does it feel like there are more high-quality food options for dogs than there are for kids? And that is where Little Spoon comes into play, folks. Little Spoon is the one trusted place to shop meals and snacks for babies, toddlers, and big kids. All meals are made with real ingredients without having to rethink every choice or lower your standards on each developmental milestone. Kendall's daughter has been eating Little Spoon for years now, and she absolutely loves it. Every time I babysat for her, there's Little Spoon snacks, Little Spoon meals, whatever the pouches, whatever it may be. She's always really digged them, and it's nice because you know that you're getting high quality foods without all the junk in it. All baby and toddler recipes are tested for 500 plus contaminants, including heavy metals. Puffs are the perfect snack for toddlers. They're organic, made with simple ingredients, and easy for little hands to grasp, supporting oral motor development while adding a nutritional boost. They're also perfect for the teething years when gums are sore and softer textures are everything. And as appetites and opinions grow, Little Spoon does too. For the big kid stage, they have plates that are heat and eat meals with superfoods and hidden veggies, great for picky eaters and getting mealtime on the table in minutes. And they have something called Lunchers, which are these really cute, nostalgic, better for you versions of the classics that we grew up with, perfect for backpacks and busy days while still delivering real nutrition and all day fuel with over 10 grams of protein per meal. They also have snacks like Beyond Smoothies and Yogo snack pouches. Little Spoon makes better for you versions of kids' favorites like fruit dippers and cookie dipsters. Modern, junk-free snack swaps with kid-craved flavors. And with over 100 ingredients spanned across the board, Kendall doesn't have to overthink labels or second-guess what they're serving. It's already been thought through for them, and that confidence makes all the difference. Feeding the kids doesn't have to be complicated. Little Spoon makes it easy with real, nutritionally balanced meals and snacks designed for every stage. It shows up ready to go, takes the pressure off, and somehow still gets devoured. Veggies and all. No artificial dyes, flavors, or sweeteners either. And you know what? That's a win I'll take every time. Get 30% off your first online order at littlespoon.com/sesh with code sesh. That's littlespoon.com/sesh with code sesh for 30% off your first order. I feel like for so long, women's health was such a taboo, and it's a horrible because obviously half the population is women. And so why is it so taboo to talk about women's health? Luckily though, O Positive is here to change that because O Positive offers a range of symptom targeting supplements that support women at every stage in life, from their first period to well beyond their last. O Positive is proud to have best-selling women's health products at Target and on Amazon. Their Urovaginal Probiotics is one of the top 5 supplements on Amazon, and they have multiple number one products in Target for intimate care, PMS, and menopause categories. But you might be asking, what's so special about O Positive products? Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but last time I was in the women's health aisle, there was a zillion products that all claimed to do different things, and I was very overwhelmed and didn't know which products I could actually trust. But O Positive creates real, tangible results with ingredients that are backed by clinical studies and shaped by board-certified doctors. They're committed to breaking down stigmas and addressing issues many women experience, like hormone health, vaginal health, menopause, and so much more. Specifically, their Uro is a probiotic blend specifically formulated to support vaginal health. It balances healthy vaginal pH, supports healthy vaginal smell, and maintains healthy vaginal flora. Because so many different factors like sex and tight clothing, sweat from working out, hormones, periods, etc., can disrupt vaginal health and lead to an imbalance in vaginal flora and pH, causing unhealthy vaginal odor and taste, abnormal discharge, and discomfort. But Urovaginal Probiotic is a blend of 4 powerful strains of Lactobacillus probiotics, backed by research showing these strains support healthy vaginal odor, pH, and flora. And in addition, Uro contains prebiotics that increase effectiveness of the probiotics. And when taken 2 daily, Uro delivers noticeable benefits within 8 weeks. Many see results sooner, though. I myself have taken Uro and I really do see the difference. I put it on to a lot of my friends as well, and they're very pleased with the results. But don't just take our word for it. I mean, they have tons of amazing reviews on their website as well. People say that this product is a life changer. Talk about buildup of your sex life and confidence. My husband loves them and noticed a difference during intimacy. Every woman needs this. So take proactive care of your health and head to opositive.com/sesh or enter sesh at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. That's opositive.com/sesh. For 25% off. I don't know exactly what happened, but you don't really need to know. Essentially, the two of them had a major falling out. Alex Cooper continued on with the podcast without Sophia Franklin. And once she left Barstool, she ended up signing a massive $60 million deal with Spotify, moving Call Her Daddy exclusively there. Then a couple years later, that deal ended, and now she's with SiriusXM, along with, she has like a radio show, or not, Unwell does, that other people host that she'll call into sometimes. She's got tons of different avenues and projects that she does. So, and then, go
ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I think one thing that really kicked off Unwell was when she, because she did end up signing Alex Earl.
Right.
Which, I'm going to be so honest, I knew that she was big when she, like, she had to be big to get onto Unwell, but I didn't realize how big she was, really that big before Unwell.
She was already, so in 2023, Alex Cooper launches Unwell, and she signs a couple of people, but one of the big ones was Alex Earl. And she has a podcast called Hot Mess with Alex Earl. It premiered in 2023. I thought this was strange because I had been following Alex Earl already at that point. And like, this is where a lot of people have the argument of like, why did she sign her to begin with? Because most of the time, like, you're if you're signing a show, it's because that show needs you to promote them.
Right, right.
Alex
right.
Earl never needed Alex Cooper. Alex Earl has been big on her own for years.
Dave actually talked about that in a recent video of like how he's known her for a long time. Like, she was even doing things with Barstool for a while.
Right. Yeah. She's already had like 8 million followers on Instagram and TikTok. So like, she could have just launched her own podcast, not under Unwell, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, I agree. I personally think a big reason wasn't business at all. That's just my opinion. I think Earl looked up to
Cooper.
Alex Cooper.
Yeah.
And I truly think that was one of the biggest reasons, because any manager would be like, this is not,
like,
I mean,
you don't need this.
Yeah.
You don't, you're big enough on your own. You don't need like her to leverage you. But yeah, like you said, she even talks about like, I was always a fan of Alex Cooper. I always really liked her. I was a huge fan of Call Her Daddy. So I think it was just a really cool opportunity of being able to work with someone who she really admired and looked up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of why they, you know, started working together. But I think hindsight's 2020. I think that was probably the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
On both their parts. Yeah. If you don't know who Alex Earl is, I mean, she's basically like the biggest influencer in the world. I would say she's starting to teeter over into that like celebrity-ish.
Oh yeah.
Category.
She has a TV show.
She has a reality show that's coming out on Netflix at some point. She's got millions and millions of followers. I mean, she started on TikTok years ago just doing like Get Ready With Me's when she went to the University of Miami in college, and she just blew up. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She just launched her own skincare brand. Like, she's everywhere. And so she is just as big as Alex Cooper, if not bigger, just the name herself. Obviously, Alex Cooper has an entire like company that is Unwell, but as far as like the name, I think that, like I said, Alex Earl is just as big and therefore never needed Alex Cooper to begin with.
You know what's crazy is that she finished, her and her partner on Dancing with the Stars finished in second place. I remember watching, because I watched this season. And she was really good.
She was really good.
Like, I think she danced. I don't think she ballroom danced. She danced, I think, cheer, whatever, palm type of thing. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty positive that's what she said. But it had been a long time. And cannot believe, she looked like she'd been doing it forever.
I was honestly really impressed. I was shocked she didn't win. Like, a lot of the reason why I think she got the popularity she did is, one, she's absolutely gorgeous. Two, I think she's like, her lifestyle is just very, I think, fun to watch. She, you know, has tons of friends and lived in Miami. And she also struggled really badly with acne and had been on Accutane multiple times and was like talking about her journey with that, and has always tried to remain at least very authentic in that facet of her life of like, I think a lot of people can relate to her with like having insecurities, whether that is acne or something else. And it sounds stupid, like on the surface, but I think it is, something should be said about that of like, social media is so fake. Everyone's so perfect. Everyone's so filtered, so flawless. And she basically was like, no, like, I struggle too. Here's my face. Yeah. Here's my skincare journey. Like, and it wasn't like a couple of pimples. Like, she had severe acne. And so I think a lot of people really respected her for being open about that and not trying to like filter that part of her life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know it's hard to say sometimes because obviously you go look at her like Instagram and TikTok. Like, yes, she's stunning and I'm not going to say she's fake or anything like that, but she's beautiful. I mean, she looks literally perfect, but I feel like any sort of struggle she had gone through, she was like open about it. And then like in her vlogs, I was seeing like, yeah, she'll get ready and like be all done up, but usually she will just start recording, like taking or with her makeup not on or taking it off or whatnot. Like, she seems like, obviously, like, she posts very hot photos, but at the same time, she has like a pretty, when she gets on camera, she just seems relatable.
She seems pretty, like, personable.
Yeah.
She has a way of, like, talking to the camera that just makes you feel like she's just, like, FaceTiming a friend.
Yeah.
Which I think is the reason that a lot of people gravitate towards her. So, basically, the two of them, they're, you know, Alex Earl goes on Call Her Daddy and kind of talks about her hometown, which her upbringing, there was like a whole cheating scandal with like her dad and her stepmom and her mom, which I'm not really going to go into because it doesn't really apply, like have anything to do with this. But she talks about that on the podcast, and all is well as far as people can see. Like, the two of them are working together, they're friends, whatever.
Truly like a powerhouse duo.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, them two together is going to...
Yeah. I don't know. I've always, like, personally liked both of them. I don't...
Same.
Obviously, like, don't know that much about them. But from what I've seen, I admire their work ethic. I think both of them are extremely hardworking. They're go-getters. They're ambitious. And I just like to see women with power, really, in general. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Especially in the sense of... being an entrepreneur, like, that's such a male-dominated field. So to have two women kicking ass and making these business deals and, you know, getting all this attention, I just like to see. I think it's cool. So anyways, fast forward here to early 2025, and Earl wasn't seen at Cooper's unwell Super Bowl party in February, and rumors started to immediately spark that something was going on between the two of them, because unwell hosts different events all the time. And I think for the most part, Alex Earl was there, because most of the time, at least a handful of creators in the unwell production company are like at the events and stuff with each other. So she wasn't there. So everyone was like, what the hell happened? And then a few weeks after the party, it was reported that Unwell Network officially dropped Alex Earl's Hot Mess podcast. The podcast, I actually think that was one of like the least interesting things that Alex has put out. Like, I've listened to a couple episodes and I was like, eh, it just didn't seem like it was the right fit for her. And so my thought was maybe just like fizzled out, you know, because I don't think it was the right avenue for her was podcasting, when like she doesn't need to be doing it. Like, she is plenty successful doing all the other forms of social media stuff that she is still doing. Yeah, I thought it was strange that it was announced in this way versus like, you know, Cooper coming on and being like, hey guys, we're actually gonna, you know, not have her on a podcast. But it's like it's totally fine, no bad blood, whatever. Like, there was no discussion about it from the two of them. And so obviously that, you know, let people know that something was going on.
Right. No, and I didn't think about it, that I didn't really think too much about it at first when I first heard. But then I was like, wait, you know, then I started to see some back and forth. But Yeah, I think it's probably the best option for her in general, for her job. But it just, you know, as soon as Alex put out her announcement that she was not going, she was going to be like on a hiatus, I guess people like flooded Cooper, was like, what happened? You know, where did you, between you two, all that.
Yeah, she basically was like, I have to put a pause on podcasting now for this foreseeable future. And that she couldn't really go into detail. So obviously people are like, holy shit, what happened? And are going to Alex Cooper being like, what did you do? What happened to the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
But she did, like, she said in place of the podcast, she was going to continue doing her, like, weekly vlogs and give people behind the scenes of her day-to-day life.
That same day that Alex Earl says that, Alex Cooper hops on Instagram and basically says, hi, I see your comments. Alex not being able to podcast has nothing to do with Unwell. I don't know why she can't or what's going on. Unwell gave her everything back. She owns her IP. Learned from the best. And then she adds Dave Portnoy. Because Dave Portnoy gave Alex Cooper the IP to call her daddy when it absolutely exploded. And she was able to go, obviously, make that $60 million deal. So then, a couple months later, Alex Earl unfollows Alex Cooper on Instagram, as well as Unwell and all of the Call Her Daddy accounts. And at the end of April, Alex Cooper unfollowed the Hot Mess podcast and then later unfollowed Alex Earl on Instagram. So obviously, people are beefing, which this is such a dystopian time that we're talking about so-and-so unfollowing so-and-so. It just sounds so fucking weird. Like, we live in a really strange time.
Yes.
I'll just say that. So then in May, Alex Earl is asked about what happened during an interview with the Wall Street Journal. And she said behind the scenes, it was a little bit of a hot mess. She also admitted she felt pretty lost during the whole transition and that getting the rights to her podcast took some time. So at this point, really nothing is like actually being said. But it was pretty clear that like something is going on. Okay, so now let's fast forward to August of 2025. When things start to really get a little more spicy, okay? Now that you guys kind of understand the history and whatnot, let's get into the actual drama that's happening currently. So in a TikTok video that Alex Earl made, she said that she has so much shit to say and so much info to spill. And someone comments asking what happened between you and Alex Cooper, to which she responds in the comments, how much time do you have? Which obviously suggests that there's a lot more to the story. And this is when people just, of course, go wild with the speculation, the theories, because she essentially is admitting something really bad happened. There's a whole story behind it. And everyone's suspicions are accurate, right? That they have major beef.
Right.
So after that, Alex Cooper posted a video that definitely came off as somewhat of a response to Alex Earl's comment. So she had this event in Las Vegas back in October, and she did like a promo recap video for it. And the background song was Circus by Britney Spears. And people were like, oh, my God, this was definitely on purpose. And that's because Alex Earl was on Dancing with the Stars and her debut performance song was Circus by Britney Spears, and that happened around the same time. So people are like, clearly she's like doing this as at a dig to Alex Earl.
Oh, of course. And the Alex Cooper's caption really drove it home. She goes, how much time do you have, because we could go all night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically referencing Earl's TikTok,
right?
You know,
but you know, for all, you know, it's about like how much time do you have to party, because we could go all night, you know. So it's very what's the word I'm looking for?
Like plausible deniability.
Oh,
wow.
That's not the word I was looking for, but very good. It's very whatever. Yeah, sure. Plausible deniability.
Passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive and just like what a
subtle subtweeting.
I mean, it could mean something. I don't know. It could. Do you think Alex Cooper?
Absolutely do I think she purposely did this.
Okay.
She used the fucking song that Alex Earl had on the show that she's on. She's literally dancing around in a somewhat similar outfit that Alex Earl was in. And her fucking caption is the same language that Alex Earle used. I 100% think this is very calculated and on purpose. So the back and forth continues, okay? And for example, Sophia Franklin, who again was the one of the original co-hosts of the Call Her Daddy podcast, who has very publicly stated that she does not like Alex Cooper. She felt like she was slighted by her. She felt like she was like totally fucked over by her. She announces that she has a book coming, Daddy Issues, to which then Alex Earle likes that comment. So again, people are like, holy shit. She is essentially saying like, yeah, I can't wait for you to expose Alex Cooper.
Right.
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 Okay. So then on April 9th, Alex reposted a TikTok from another creator.
Sorry, Bravo, Mom. Alex Earle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Alex Earle reposted a TikTok from another creator, Bravo Mom, who criticized Alex Cooper and called her an ambulance chaser and the Grim Reaper. And this is when things absolutely exploded. Let's actually just watch the video so you can hear it straight from this person.
I would honestly compare Alex Cooper to an ambulance chaser. Like, you just had the most horrific accident of your life. You're, you know, hanging on by a thread. Don't know if you're going to make it. And she's the first one there. She's the first one there. And she's a Grim Reaper. She wants to get the exclusive interview. She wants to be there when you're vulnerable and you're broken down. And you're ready to sign over your rights to your life. Like, she's so awful. And I wish that more women, celebrities, female athletes, reality stars, anyone who's a woman on planet Earth, I wish they would stop making that their first stop after something happens in their lives, because she is profiting off of women's like heartaches and failures and, you know, all these awful things that happen to women. She's profiting off of it. That's not girl power. She totally screwed over her previous co-host, Sophia. The show has never, ever been the same.
Okay, I have several thoughts on that. First, I just want to make it clear. I actually never listened to Call Her Daddy when it was the two of them. I've listened to a few episodes just to like get the vibe. But when I started listening, it was just Alex Cooper. So like, I can't really speak on that, but I have listened to tons of Call Her Daddy episodes. I have worn her merch. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Like, I, you know, really enjoy her content. I think, again, she's a badass in the entrepreneurial space. And the fact that she's a female going up against these, like, you know, the Joe Rogans and stuff, I love to see it. But I will say I didn't listen to the podcast when it was her and Sophia. So I don't really have like a opinion on how the podcast changed. I know that some people say it sucks now and that Sophia carried the whole show. Some people say that she's better off without her. Obviously, it's kind of subjective.
Well, if people want to say like, OK, Alice Cooper's content on Call Her Daddy now alone is completely different than what it was
completely different
before. Before, yeah, they're talking about their sex stories or crazy night outs. And so, like, if someone's like, oh, I miss their old content, it's like, well, they weren't going to. I mean, maybe some people live in that lifestyle for, you know, however long, but she grew out of it.
And she grew with her audience. Like,
right.
Let's remember that most of her audience when they started were also in college or freshly out of college. And now we're 30-year-olds, and not saying that, you know, everyone who's 30 is married and settled down, but like the majority at some point who were living that type of like party lifestyle have matured and, you know, grown out of that with her. So I think that it makes sense that it's different content.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think it would, they called Call Her Daddy when Sophia was on there, like a locker room for like women's locker room talk kind of a thing, which is like, okay, I get it. But also, it's not always something you can do one person.
Yeah.
It's not really locker room talk. And then also, I think, yeah, people are over it. I mean, mm-hmm. How can she provide her insights on that if she's not doing that?
Right. So, okay, I have a couple of things to say about this TikTok. I don't really understand the ambulance chaser narrative, because does she bring people on her show after they go through major things, good or bad? Absolutely. But like, what is that? Like, what? How does that make her an ambulance? It's not like she's forcing these people to go on her show. I'm assuming her, you know, team reaches out to their team and they accept or whatnot. And I think it's odd, because if they didn't go on her show, someone else would have, like, they would have gone somewhere else. Clearly, it's up to them if they want to talk about their experience. And if they don't talk about it on Call Her Daddy, then they talk about it to People Magazine. They're making money off it, or TMZ's making money off of it, or, you know, any of these, like, anyone who's doing an interview is being used to make money off of.
Yeah. There may be others, but one that I noticed that I just wasn't now hearing from the other side, which we'll get more into, is Breonna Chicken Fry and her friendship with Grace O'Malley, and how people, or how Breonna said, you know, she used that for her benefit. Did I love that? No. But again, people wanted to know what happened. Everyone was asking. So she would have gone on someone else's.
Yeah. I mean, someone else would have signed her.
Right. Exactly.
So the whole, like, Grim Reaper ambulance chaser thing, I don't agree with that, because if you're going to call her a Grim Reaper and an ambulance chaser, then you might as well call everyone who, all journalists, all interviewers, like everyone who talks about someone else's experience or, you know, interview someone. So I don't know. I personally don't really agree with that. But regardless, Alex Earle clearly agrees with it, because she reposted it. And obviously people are, you know, really took that and ran with it, because it just shows that she's got some very strong feelings towards Cooper.
I also think that Alex Cooper does a great job during her interviews going about asking questions. She's not like harping on people. You know, we've got vile files over here.
Yeah. And he's not getting that. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's not, like, some people are like, dude, what that, like, there's some people who don't like him, but I haven't heard the narrative of people being pissed off because he's profiting off of other people's experiences.
Right. Right.
I mean, so is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Like, that whole narrative to me is so bizarre. Yeah, that's what her show is. She interviews people. And if you don't want to go on it, then you just don't go on it.
Right.
She's
not like outing your business without you agreeing to it.
And, you know, a lot of people have criticized Alex Cooper that she, you know, doesn't ask enough questions and isn't like pushy enough with her, with her audience or with the people that she interviews. Some people say that she's a horrible interviewer and like tiptoes around and, you know, doesn't hold her like guest accountable in any way. Again, that's all subjective, but it's just interesting that clearly some people think that she's just like a leech, and then some people think that she's not hard enough on people. So I don't know. Okay, and that's not the only thing that people noticed from this woman's Instagram and in her TikTok and her posts. She also pointed out another potential layer to this feud, which is that Alex Earle is friends with Claire Holt. Now, this is relevant because Claire's ex-husband is Matt Kaplan, who is the current husband of Alex Cooper. You know, I have no idea what the actual relationship is between Claire and Alex Cooper. Like, they could be friends for all we know. I have no idea. But Claire did comment on the video with a GIF of John
Krasinski.
Thank you. ducking down in the car, basically being like, ooh, tea. Okay, so then on April 13th, Alex Cooper posted a video basically calling out Alex Earle, explaining the beef between them. Let's go ahead and watch that. Yeah, because essentially, before this, it was a bunch of just Alex Earle, like, subtweeting. I mean, really, she hadn't made very many comments herself about this. You know, she said, how much time do you have? And a couple of things, but it wasn't really much, but it was more so like retweeting things and liking comments and stuff. So kind of just like dropping little Easter eggs. So then Alex Cooper comes out and posts this video.
Hey guys. You guys know I don't usually address this kind of stuff because it feels like a waste of time, and honestly, it's embarrassing to participate in this, but I am obviously seeing the videos, I'm getting tagged, I see the DMs, I see the comments, so at this point, it just feels long overdue. Alex Earle, hey girl. The passive aggressive reposts and the likes and the commenting on things, I gotta call you out here. You're gonna need to get specific and just say what you gotta say about me. There's no NDA. No one is stopping you. Stop hiding behind other people and just say it yourself. What's the beef? Because I'm really tired of waking up and seeing you using this fake drama to distract from other shit going online for you. Not interested. I know what happened, and so do you. So talk. Unless the fake narrative that you're creating happens to be way more interesting than the truth. I have nothing to hide when it comes to you and me. So, unless you actually have something to say, I'm out. This is over. Have a good Monday, everyone.
Okay, so then Alex Earle comments on that video and says, okay, on it. She then posted this video of her friends waking her up, showing her the video of Alex Cooper. She says, this just made my day. And people took this video so many different ways. People think that Alex Cooper is a total bitch for saying this, that, okay, why couldn't you just come out and say it then? Why couldn't this be handled behind closed doors? There's so many different comments on it, and people are waiting for Alex Earle to speak up on it. I don't think she's going to. Like, she hasn't by now. This was a week ago that this was posted and she hasn't said anything. Like I said, I don't really, like, I'm not, it's, I find it really interesting and honestly not surprising that the internet has picked sides to this. Like, it's either your Alex Cooper side or your Alex Earle side, and fuck the other person. And I just think that's such a weird take, because at the end of the day, none of us know what the fuck happened. One of the most common questions that I get asked by you guys are what glasses I'm wearing. I genuinely get so many DMs from people, and that is because I truly do have the cutest glasses, I must say so myself, and they're actually really affordable as well and really good quality, and that's all thanks to Warby Parker. I have been a customer of Warby Parker long before they started sponsoring the show, so when they came as a sponsor, I was super stoked. Because like I said, I have had these glasses for many years. I love them. They're such good quality. They're really cute styles. They have so many different styles on their website. I personally have the Esme style, for those of you who are wondering. And yeah, like I said, super cute, great quality, and at a price that is actually affordable. What's really cool is that they actually offer something called a virtual try-on option. And so you can basically upload a picture of yourself on their website and then swipe through different glasses, and it'll like put it on your picture so you can kind of see what you will look like before committing and purchasing, which is just a genius thing that they offer, and I've used it so many times, it's never done me wrong. And when it comes to quality for the price, Warby Parker is the best. Honestly, it's not even close. You used to have to choose between flimsy, outdated styles or spending half your paycheck, but Warby Parker has completely changed that. Their prescription glasses start at just $95, so you can actually get quality and stylish frames at an affordable price. And what's really cool is that they don't just offer prescription glasses. They have everything you need for happier eyes. That includes contacts, online eye exams, which I didn't even know was a thing. That's so cool. And they even have prescription sunglasses. But if you're looking for that in-person option, you can do that too, because they also have over 300 retail stores across the US. But maybe the best part about Warby Parker, for every pair they sell, they also give a pair to someone in need. Warby Parker has distributed over 20 million pairs of glasses to people in need through its Buy a Pair Give a Pair program. Warby Parker is covered by major eye insurance plans, so they make it incredibly easy to use. You just enter your information to see if you're eligible for benefits on frames, contacts, or eye exams, and if you are, they automatically apply them to you. So I'm telling you guys, Warby Parker is where it's at when it comes to eye care. They make everything so easy and seamless, the quality is so good, and the prices are really just unbeatable. And right now, buy one prescription pair and get 20% off any additional prescription pairs at warbyparker.com/sesh. That's 20% off any additional prescription pairs when you go to warbyparker.com/sesh. We can only make our opinions based on what other people have said or what we've seen online. But like, no one really knows what's going on. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people tend to forget is like, we have no idea what's going on. So I'm not like, I'm not really picking sides either way. And honestly, most likely the truth is somewhere in the middle, right?
Oh yeah. I don't think that one person did just like, you know, it was one way. I think it was something that happened on both sides. But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of funny with all the theories people come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, lots of theories.
From their exclusive sources.
Right, from their exclusive sources, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
And, if you know, while this is all going on, Dave Portnoy.
He's back.
This bitch is back with his tea by the sea bit to share his perspective on the feud. Which, of course, this motherfucker's like, let me jump in.
Oh,
like, this is the biggest drama that's happening right now. I know both of them personally. Let me give my two cents, get some eyes on my page.
I think he made like over 4 videos on this.
And they probably have millions of views.
Well, but also, let's remember, Dave started like BFFs and other things for the gossip. He does truly have love for the game when
Absolutely.
It comes to celebrity gossip.
Absolutely.
But he left it. And I know that he likes it, but he left it because he didn't want the drama anymore.
Yeah, but also, I think he didn't want to have to feed into drama every single week. But like, if something catches his eye, it's a little interesting.
It's so funny.
Just to like tee-hee about it mm-hmm. online.
In the videos of him, I mean, he's sitting there on the beach and he's like, I'm trying my hardest to get the tea, you guys. He's like showing screenshots of all of his DMs to people like Harry Jowsey. Like, what's the tea? He's like, I would do that with like a little teacup in all of it. Like, he was like bombarding people.
I will say one thing that Dave doesn't have is fucking shame.
No.
This guy, like, I'll give him props. He doesn't give a fuck. I mean, he's literally coming out with a book that's called Cancel Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't give a shit. And he's entertaining for it. I mean, I'll give him that. Also, his dogs are extremely cute. Do I like Dave Portnoy? Am I a big Dave Portnoy fan? No. Like, I know that people have negative opinions of him, too. I'm not going to get into that, whatever. But
it's because he just doesn't like care.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Which,
so.
Tea by the Sea, though, is his, like, new bit.
He basically sits outside of he's got so many fucking mansions. He sits outside of one of his giant, beautiful homes. I think this one's in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And sits on the beach and essentially talks about the goss, the hot goss, okay?
Should we watch?
Let's watch.
The promo?
Yeah.
If you tell Dave something that's juicy, it goes out the door.
All right, new tea by the sea.
Dave Portnoy spilling every single secret is the best thing I've seen on the internet.
This story's great.
I'm going to figure it out.
I have a loud mouth. Loose lips.
Gossip Queen Dave. I fucking guzzle the tea and I go bang, boom, bottled in.
He honestly brought up some really good points.
Give me the big stories, all right?
Brianna Chicken Fry told me.
I asked Chicken Fry.
I text Brianna Chicken Fry. Chicken Fry told me.
My fucking dementia boss aired all my shit out online.
Chicken Fry also said Alex Earl and Tom Brady were full on dating. Again, don't care, don't know if that's true. What are you doing being married in a timeshare in the Hamptons?
Dave spilled the tea.
He's like, I've known about this.
This is old news.
Not old news, because no one knew about it.
Can we just take his fucking phone away from him? Thank you.
There you go. There's a tea by the...
Okay, so he initially claimed that the beef started after Alex Earl did a Carl's Jr. Super Bowl commercial back in 2025. But later, he walked that back after Alex Cooper reached out and told him she wanted nothing to do with the commercial, which we will get into that in a bit, okay? At first, though, he was saying the drama started because of the deal that Cooper actually wanted the commercial. So at the time, both of them had the same PR rep. Her name is Kate Bailey, who now only works for Alex Earle, but used to be really close with Cooper, which this is a whole other layer to it. People are like, oh my God, why doesn't she work with Alex Cooper anymore? Clearly, like, something happened and they don't have a good relationship. If she got dropped, blah, 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 whatever. So Dave said that Kate Bailey was involved in the business side of the deal and that the issues ultimately came down to money.
That was just like theory
right.
of it,
right? He also said he thinks that Alex Earle was probably too big for Unwell and eventually realized she didn't need the network to grow, which I think we can all agree on that. Dave then brings Brown and Chicken Fry into the mix by saying he got a lot of insight from her. And since she's friends with Alex Earle, that was kind of his source on some of, you know, this. So Carl's Jr. later came into the comments section and said, here to confirm it was only ever Alex Earle, because apparently Alex Cooper was going to do the Carl's Jr. shoot. And she was like, I want nothing to do with that. She specifically says, if I had a gun to my head and $10 million in a bag, I would not have done the Carl's Jr. ad. So he admitted that he was wrong about Carl's Jr. being the center of the beef. Okay, so now we're back to square one. What is the center of the beef? It's not the fucking Carl's Jr. ad. It's not the star-shaped chicken nuggets. What's the fucking center of their beef? And this is when he shares a DM from Brianna Chicken Fry saying that Alex Earle was going to destroy Alex Cooper. So it seems like Chicken Fry said that because Dave was kind of insinuating that Alex Earle might not have actually meant she was going to comment publicly, that her post could have just been sarcastic, which I still kind of think that.
I think
she meant like, oh yeah, okay, I'll get right on that. Right. Like, I have time, you know, I have time to fucking play into your crap.
Yeah.
But I think that's a little bit of a cheap shot when you are the one, you are reposting things. You are clearly stirring the pot.
Yeah. I mean, people that are like following this, like, you know, refreshing their pages all the time to see if like there's any updates are definitely seeing Earle, yeah, like kind of tap the bear.
Right.
And then she says that and it's like, okay.
You're poking the bear, dude.
Yeah.
But Bree says that Dave was, you know, allowed to post her DM of her saying to in Portnoy's thing that Alex Earle is going to destroy her. So now we have Dave over here saying that Bree and Alex Earle are close and that Bree knows inside information from Alex Earle's side and is actively commenting on everything happening. For example, Bree commented on one of Chicks in the Office Instagram posts about Cooper calling out Alex Earle, just saying, ew. And somebody reposts her comment and Bree responded with, this is about Cooper, obviously. She also posted on her story that she'll talk more about the whole situation in the next episode of her podcast. She says, I let it rip, but it doesn't drop till Sunday. Maybe I release early. I just really hate Mean Girls. I'm an Earle girl. Now, she did talk about this in the episode came out yesterday, which we'll get into in just a bit here. But after Bree's comments on the Instagram post, Alex Cooper called her out for adding to what she says is a fake narrative that's going around. She writes, this girl-on-girl shit needs to stop. While Alex tries to get her story together, let me address Brianna Chicken Fry, who is adding onto the fake narrative and dog pile. Brianna, you coming online saying I'm a mean girl, that I'm going to get destroyed, and people's comments saying I hate Alex Cooper, here are the facts. I have never met you in my life. The only communication we ever had together is through our DMs. And then she posts screenshots of their DMs, which I'm not even going to read these. It's basically like, so basically Brianna Chicken Fry goes into her DMs and is like, this is back in 2022. Hey, Dave just got on BFFs and said you hate me, so wanted to DM you before the episode comes out and everyone goes insane. But I'm sorry if I said I haven't listened to Call Her Daddy if it came off rude. I always try and speak highly of you. They cut the clips to make me look like a bitch. You're the blueprint, blah, blah, blah. So Alex Cooper says, I never said that, dude. My publicist said to him, she wasn't happy that you said that. And I was like, what? I haven't seen it. What happened? Just like stupid shit.
Like basically showing that they didn't have any beef.
Yeah. Basically, there's like no beef. They're talking about like their dogs. They're talking about like, how she's saying, I mean, Bri is like, I think you're doing great, and Alex Earl was like, I think you're doing great. You're killing it. Like, it was very... Alex Cooper says, I think you're doing great. Like, it's very...
Yeah.
Mild shit. They're just DMing about nothing, really. And that was basically her proof.
Right.
Of saying, like, look, we don't even have any sort of relationship. Essentially, like, why is Bree talking about me when we don't even know each other? Like, the communication we had was so surface level. We've never even met. Whatever. She then goes on to correct herself that she... at one point was in her presence once back in 2021. But overall they have no, they really have like no relationship. And so she's like, why are you, you know, talking about me and saying that I'm a mean girl and all this shit when you've never even,
like, we haven't had any issues.
We've never even interacted.
Again, that was back in 2022. So,
right.
You know, and yeah, Bree, she comes back.
Okay, so Alex Cooper posts that, and then Bree responds to that with a TikTok video. Let's watch.
Okay, Alex Cooper just made a TikTok about me saying that she's not a mean girl because we had nice DMs back when, before I found out everything about this girl. And no, the people that are saying this Alex on Alex crime is like a fucking PR stunt, these are the same people that were saying that about Amanda and Wes, that it was an April Fool's prank. Like, please, guys, get a brain cell. I work at Barstool, so Dave introduced me to Alex Cooper. I was a fan of Alex Cooper before I knew the wrath of fucking Alex Cooper and what she does to people and how she treats people. I'm friends with Alex Earl. Alex Earl told me everything that transpired between those two years ago at the Super Bowl. She told me everything. It didn't happen between them at the Super Bowl, but that's when she told me everything. You can go time check me. You can go stamp check me. I've said this on BFFs a million times. It's not my story to tell, so I didn't tell it. From what Alex Earl told me, Alex Cooper is a very, very mean person. Or maybe when Dave called me when Alex signed Grace to Unwell and she called Dave and said, I don't give a fuck about Grace. I don't give a fuck about Brianna. All I care about is making money. Yeah, maybe my fucking narrative switched on you after I found things out about you. I used to be a fan. Clearly, I'm not anymore. I'm patiently sitting here and waiting for Alex Earl to come and say her side of the story. And that video that you made, that was deep. That was Mean Girl 101. That was Mean Girl Final Boss video. I don't know what you put, like, you literally seem like my ex posting my fucking text to him when we were still dating, like my nice messages to him and saying, oh, you think I'm a mean girl? Yeah, that was before I fucking knew anything about you. Oh my God. Alex Earl, I am waiting. I am patiently waiting.
You know what? I saw that video when it first came out. And I hadn't really like watched it again because I knew she was going to talk about it on Sunday. She basically just says the same thing that she basically said the same thing on Sunday that she did in that video. And I'm realizing it.
And there's not much like more to say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. I think she went back. She like re-recorded to add this info in. But I'm just hearing that was very similar, almost like word for word. I mean, there's maybe some additional things, but not.
Well, apparently something horrible happened, right? Like, this is the main thing, is like something terrible happened between the two of them. And Alex Earl has all this dirt on Alex Cooper or something. And, you know, once it's exposed, it's going to change everything. A lot of people say that this is like a PR stunt. I don't know why the fuck this would be a PR stunt. Like, I don't know what the two of them would be promoting together. I certainly don't think it's a PR stunt.
No, actually, that is one thing that Brianna does say in her video that she posted on Sunday. Yes. Was that this is definitely not a PR stunt.
I do not think it is. That would be so fun. Imagine having a workout plan from an expert coach that's new each week and can be done from anywhere. Well, that's Ladder. Consider it your own personal trainer without the exorbitant costs, inconvenient scheduling, or awkward small talk. But with the same expert guidelines and structured workouts to get you real results. Because let's face it, sometimes going to the gym is really confusing, at least for me, who just started working out a couple years ago and I am still very much a newbie. And I feel like there's times where I go and I have no idea what to do or like how to target specific parts of my body. And I've thought about getting a personal trainer, but the cost is just ridiculous. And it just seems like too much of a commitment for me personally. And that's why I'm so stoked about Ladder, because it gives you all of the benefits of a personal trainer, but without the cost of one, without the commitment, without the hassle. And like I said, you can do it anywhere. Ladder is an expert strength training plan, not a content library. These aren't influencer workouts or challenges. It's real progressive programming designed by certified coaches. You get a new plan every week that builds on the last, and the workouts really connect. Each week progresses from the one before through structured training blocks. It feels like having a coach right there with you. In-ear coaching guides you through every set with cues, form reminders, and motivation. And it works for any strength training style you prefer, whether that's Pilates, bodybuilding, at home dumbbell only, hybrid strength, glute focus programs, kettlebells, pre and postnatal. Whether you train at home or at the gym, there's a plan for you. And your progress is tracked automatically. The app remembers your weight, reps, and sets, so you can see yourself getting stronger over time. But I feel like one of the key things that's really nice to have when it comes to a personal trainer is that community. And you might think to yourself, well, if I use an app for that, I'm not going to have that community. But that is where you're wrong. Because your team actually has a group chat where your coaches answer questions and members motivate each other. And it all costs less than $1 a day. That's elite level personal training for a fraction of what you'd pay in person. And Ladder now includes nutrition tracking at no extra cost. It really is an all-in-one strength training plan and programming app. It's really nice to be able to focus on exactly the type of workouts that I want, the areas of my body that I really want to activate during my workouts. And it's nice knowing that each week builds on the last, so I can really keep track of my progress over time. So remove the guesswork with Ladder and get a real coach in your ear telling you exactly what to do for every workout. No thinking, everything planned for you. If you have an iPhone, head to ladder.fit/sesh and take a quick quiz to find your perfect Ladder plan. Use my link and get a free 7-day trial with no credit card and $10 off your first month if you join. Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, maybe act like you've got your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help because they deliver premium, clean proteins straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients, just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. ButcherBox delivers over 100 premium protein options straight to your door, including 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, crate-free pork, and wild-caught seafood. It's all responsibly raised and thoughtfully sourced, so you're not guessing about what's on your plate. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. I personally have tried several of their seafood products, and every single one that I've tried is so delicious. I've tried their salmon, which is genuinely some of the best salmon I've ever had. Their scallops are really good. Their shrimp is delicious. John is a huge fan of their beef. He told me that the steaks that he tried were some of the best steaks he's ever had. He's also always chefing up the ground beef that we have. And I just feel like there's a genuine difference in the quality when it comes to ButcherBox's ingredients and products versus what you would find in your average grocery store. And it's so convenient. It's delivered right to your door. You just throw it in the freezer, bring it out whenever you're ready to cook it. It couldn't be easier. And it's so much better for you and just for the environment in general. Every product meets the same rigorous standards. No unnecessary additives, no artificial ingredients, no mystery fillers, just responsibly sourced nutrient-dense protein that actually does its job. And whether you're dialing in your nutrition this spring, fueling workouts, feeding a family with strong opinions, or just trying to make dinner feel a little less chaotic, ButcherBox offers fully customizable plans that fit your routine, your goals, and your schedule. It shows up when you need it, so healthy eating is the easy choice, not the exhausting one. And as a certified B Corp, ButcherBox is committed to doing things right, from how animals are raised to how their team supports workers and reduces environmental impact. Because you are what your food eats, and sourcing matters. Plus, every box ships free, and members get access to recipes, tips, and exclusive deals that make eating clean, high-quality protein simple, consistent, and actually doable. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/sesh. That is a crazy good deal, you guys. You seriously have nothing to lose to try out ButcherBox. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/sesh. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you. So, yeah, basically she says, like, look, Alex Cooper being a quote-unquote mean girl is nothing new. She's been this way for a while. She's been a bitch in the industry. She fucked over Grace O'Malley, who was Brianna Chicken Fry's best friend. They had a huge falling out. Their podcast that they had together ended, and Alex Cooper essentially swoops in, signs her under her Unwell Network. And supposedly the only reason that she did that was to get money, and she was like, I don't give a fuck about Grace O'Malley. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to make money. Again, I don't know if that's true. Like, there's no concrete proof here that that's what's happening.
And again, I mean, I do think that since that was a pretty hot topic, you know, Brie and her just went on like tour, and then shit went down, you know, horrible things with Zach Bryan. Something maybe happened between Grace and Zach during a hangout. You know, there's just a lot of friendship things. And do I think that Alex Cooper was like, yeah, I'm going to continue. I'm going to be, you know, support her, whatever, give her a new platform. Her podcast was taken from her.
Right.
But I wouldn't put it beside her to not call Dave and say that to him either, which is not. Nothing is great about it, but I, you know, she is a business person, and
yeah.
How do you you can't like say we don't know why she did it. Does it come off?
Well, clearly she did it as a business move. Duh.
Right.
Like, of course she did. She runs a fucking business. That's what you do. She saw an opportunity and she took it.
Yeah,
and
she didn't do anything to Brianna. Actually do anything to her.
No, she signed her ex-friend, really.
Yeah.
Do I think it's kind of fucked up if she really did say, I don't give a shit about her, I just did it for the money? Yeah, I think that's fucked up to say. Whether or not she actually believes that or not, I wouldn't be thrilled to hear someone saying that about me or anyone. But also, like, no shit, she signed her for that reason. Of course, she didn't sign her because she felt bad for her and wanted to make friends and didn't care if it made any money. Like,
right.
Duh. That's, of course she signed her to make money.
I feel like, though, just saying, I don't think Alex Cooper's wrong, honestly. Like we say, like, she might be a cutthroat businesswoman. That's okay.
Yeah.
Honestly. And that's why she's as successful as she is. And so it's okay for her to want to make money. And also, I do think it's okay for Brianna to be upset about, like, this was not like a business thing. This was an actual true friendship breakup that you want to profit off of right now when Grace is in a bad spot right now. I'm in a bad spot and you're just trying to make money moves. I think they can both be right in those situations. And I think that's where people are getting a little over the top and like picking a side, like you were saying, because she is right to feel upset about that. And Alex Cooper is right to prioritize her business.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just kind of confused why Brie cares that Alex Cooper signed this person when they had a big falling out. They had nothing great to say about each other at the end. I'm kind of confused why she cares that she got signed. Like,
yeah, well,
because she's like from what it sounded like, she profited off their friendship ending. And I think it was still something, like, because Brie was getting dragged actually through the dirt during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this maybe only added some more, like, hate or whatnot, like, kind of claiming, oh, Brie, you just, like, you know, left Grace in the dust, which Brie says that's not what happened. Again, we don't know, that's a friendship, whatever happened with them, but I think she just, it was in the moment, was like, why are you profiting off something that's hurtful and hard for me? And Grace, again, Alex doesn't have to care about that. Well, so I get what you're saying. I agree. Both of them have
their. Dave did comment on this, actually, and gave insight. So Dave actually did mention a conversation he had with Alex Cooper, which is where this came up. And Alex Cooper was talking about bringing Grace on to call her daddy to, I guess, talk about the friendship breakup. And that I think is also part of why Brianna was upset, because she was getting dragged through the mud and like they were both staying silent and she was going to bring her ex-best friend on to give a one-sided take on it. And then Dave said, okay, you need to have them both on then, because like that's not fair.
Right.
And then she didn't, which I do think speaks volumes. Well, actually, it was because O'Malley said she wouldn't do it with Bree.
Yeah.
So I think that's also kind of fair to be like, why are you trying to continue spreading this narrative? Or she could have probably even done like an episode with Grace and an episode with Bree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think what's hard about this is like, as much as we think we know, we just don't fucking know.
No.
At the end of the day. Like, there's probably so many things that happen behind the scenes and so many bits and pieces and little details that we have no idea. And so it's hard to really, like, form an opinion based on what we know. And I don't know. I think it's really weird to do so. That so many people are like, Team Alex.
I know.
Team Alex Cooper. I'm an Earl girl. No, I'm Team Alex Cooper. Like, I don't know.
Earl girl.
I'm an Earl girl.
Also,
which is a really cute name, I will say.
I seriously, and I'm always behind this, I don't think people, do we deserve to know all the details?
That's the thing, is like, it's really like no one's business why the two of them stopped working together.
Right.
But, however, I will say that if it's really no one's business, then I don't think that the two of them should be speaking on it. Like, I don't think that Alex Earl should be posting things saying that Alex Cooper is a fucking devil or
Ambulance.
The Grim Reaper. Yeah. I don't, like, that's so, if you don't want people talking about it, then don't fucking do that, which clearly she is. And then Alex Cooper hops on and says something back, which I'm like, yeah, at that point, I'd probably say something too. I don't know. I don't know.
No, I agree
with
that.
They're kind of both doing stupid things.
I mean, and Alex Cooper hasn't said anything since. I think she said her piece and
I don't think she'll say anything again.
No, I mean, yeah.
And here's my other piece to this is like, Alex Cooper is not an influencer, in my opinion. She is a businesswoman, a owner of a CEO. She's a producer. She owns a production company and she's not here to influence people. Whereas Alex Earl, like, is the influencer. She is the biggest influencer. So they're not even really, like, in the same boat at all. Like, yeah, they're both public figures. They're both, you know, about the same age. I think Alex Earl is, like, 25 and Cooper's, like, I think she's my age, like, 31.
Yeah, she's 31.
So, like, you know, a handful of years apart, but roughly in the same age group. They're both wildly successful.
Yeah.
And I don't really think they have, like, I don't really think there's a lot to like compete against.
And that's okay when you say that. Okay, I am not taking sides, I'm just putting it out there. When Alex Cooper said in her video, you know, if it's that bad or whatever it is, like come out and say it, like Alex Earl is using, from what it seems like right now, because she hasn't said anything, is using the narrative that, oh my god, it's something so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But won't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost does seem like she's using this secret that she's sitting on to feel maybe there's nothing there. Again, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But.
No idea. Could there be something there? Sure. Could there be something there that is really horrible and Alex Cooper doesn't know about? Sure. A part of me thinks that, but a part of me is like, I don't know. Alex Cooper's got the best of the best working for her. I can't imagine there's something so bad that she has no idea what's coming and she just blindly was like, say it, and has no idea like if that there's something else out there. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. You know, and Alex Cooper talks about how, hey, there's no NDA. You can say whatever you want. Brianna mentions just because she says there's no NDA doesn't mean that's necessarily true. There definitely could be an NDA and Alex Cooper or Alex Earl isn't even allowed to say anything because of the NDA, and Cooper is basically just making it up that there's no NDA. I don't know. She again, you know, talks about how her opinion of her changed when she claimed that Alex Cooper, you know, poached her best friend Grace O'Malley while they were going through a friendship breakup. On Saturday, last Saturday, Be Better, who we all knew who B
be better is, posted a video claiming he uncovered what really happened between Cooper and Earl. In his video, he said that when Alex Cooper's contract with Spotify was coming to an end, she wanted to launch the Unwell Network. But at that point, Call Her Daddy would have been the only podcast under it, so she needed to bring in some talent, someone that could really help seal the deal. And this is where Alex Earl comes in, according to Be Better. But she was already huge before. She was already a name of her own. Alex Cooper had a couple other people signed before Alex Earl signed to her, but no one as big with as much influence as Alex Earl. And so, according to Be Better, bringing Alex Earl on was what helped Alex Cooper lock in that Sirius XM deal, which turned out to be a 3-year, $125 million contract. And this is where things start to get messy. So he says that according to his source, who supposedly is close to Alex Earl, claims the contract was heavily in Unwell's favor and that Alex Earl was only making about $1.2 million a year. Obviously, when I say only making, yeah. I'm saying comparative to how much the network was making. $1.2 million is much different than however much 125 divided by three is, whatever. So according to the source, the issues between them began pretty much immediately. Allegedly during their very first podcast together, which was Get Ready With Me, Alex Cooper was asking Alex Earl some really vulgar and inappropriate questions while they were drinking. And the source apparently says that afterwards that Alex Earl felt like she was being taken advantage of and regretted how she came across in that video. Supposedly she wasn't comfortable answering some of the questions, but felt pressured because, you know, Alex Cooper is older. She's her boss. She's someone who she looked up to and she had been drinking. Supposedly, things really hit a breaking point when Alex Cooper decided to interview Kamala Harris on Call Her Daddy, which happened, like I said, right before the election. And supposedly, which I just don't believe this, because supposedly Alex Earl's dad, who is basically her like Kris Jenner, right? Like the manager of her, makes all, you know, helps her make all the deals, oversees everything, whatever, basically stepped in. I was furious at the Unwell Network that his daughter is tied to, that was basically promoting the Democratic Party, because Alex Earl's dad is like a longtime Republican, and he was pissed off that the network that his daughter signed with is promoting Democrats, and he's mad that she didn't have Trump on. And, you know, in that interview, Alex Cooper does say, if, you know, my invitation extends to Trump. If he wants to come on my podcast, he can. Obviously, he never did. But supposedly, the only reason she even did that was to please Alex Earl's dad, again, because he's like a Trump supporter and Republican. I don't really believe any of that, to be honest. I think that's just stupid. Like, I don't think he would care that much.
You don't?
No.
I mean, I don't know the guy.
I don't also don't know the guy. Yeah, maybe he did. I don't know. I just can't, like, I just don't think.
But I also,
they're not, I mean, I think like Alex Earl isn't in politics. I don't know.
Don't you think, do you actually think Alex Cooper really meant, like, really actually extended it? Or do you, because, like, part of me doesn't think that Alex Cooper would want.
Of course not. First off, she knows he would never fucking go on her show because he is a misogynist who would never want to go on her. And she just talked to his opponent. Like, he would never go on.
But Alex, does that make you think that maybe her dad, Alex's dad, said you need to extend the invitation?
I don't know if he said that or if she did it because she knows it's looks the best to say, hey, look, you can come on. Come talk to me.
Right.
Like, I'm not over here only take, you know, I'm not sitting over here like, and I'm unwilling to talk to Donald Trump, but I'm talking to Kamala Harris. Like, it's, I think it's just something that she said to cover her bases.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, it's very obvious, I think, that Alex Cooper is not a supporter of Donald Trump. I mean, she's advocated for women's rights. When Roe v. Wade got overturned, she had an entire episode dedicated to that where she was like talking to protesters at Planned Parenthood. She interviewed Kamala Harris. She's talked to Michelle Obama. She has made it very clear where her stance is politically, I think. So,
oh, also, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, why would she listen to her dad? Anyways, like, what pull does he have over
Alex? That's what
I'm saying. Like, so, yeah.
I'd be like,
yeah. No.
No. This is my company.
Yeah.
She signed to me. It's not like they're making Alex Earl go, regardless of what her political belief is, which I know a lot of people are like, oh, she's a Trump supporter, which I understand that she had a flag. Like, she posted a picture with a Trump flag, and she had a picture with Ivanka a while ago. You guys, it's no secret. You know where I stand when it comes to the MAGA party. I feel like I don't need to explain that. I will say, do we know that her views haven't changed? I don't know. I don't fucking know. So there, I know a lot of people who were supporting him back in 2016 who didn't really understand the gravity of the situation. Do I think it's a good excuse? No. Do I think it's a good thing? Obviously not. Like, you guys know, I've made it very clear that I'm not a fan of people who are in the MAGA sphere. Do I know that she's in the MAGA sphere? I have no idea. Do I think it's a little bit weird that people are constantly like, oh, she's a Trump supporter, and she hasn't, like, if someone was telling me, or like trying to spin the narrative that I'm a Trump supporter, I would come out immediately and be like, absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
I am not a Trump supporter. Like, let me clear my name. That is not what I stand for whatsoever. I have learned, grown, whatever. That's beside the point. It's not like they're forcing her to interview Kamala Harris or to speak on political issues. Like, you're signed under a network.
Right.
I don't know. But apparently her dad was really pissed.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I believe that. I guess that, you know, according to Be Better Than, this essentially leads to a meeting with Matt Kaplan, who is her business partner and also her husband. And Alex Earl's dad and Matt meet. And this is where he, like, demands Alex to be dropped from Unwell or released from the contract, arguing that she was also severely underpaid, and that, you know, it wasn't worth only about $1 million a year. Which, if that's true, that she really got signed for that little amount of money, I think that's wild, because the girl is probably charging, if I had to guess, she's probably getting close to $500,000 for one sponsored post.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I bet she's raking in at least, my guess is like $300,000 for a dedicated sponsored post. Like, that's how much pull she has. She is the influencer right now.
Wow.
And so, yeah, on, like, if that's true, then yeah, $1.2 million a year isn't that much comparative. Obviously, it's a fuck ton of money still. But as, you know, looking at it as a business, it's like, why does she doesn't really need this deal with Unwell Network. Like, she's doing completely fine on her own.
Right, right.
So supposedly Matt is like, no, we're not letting her out of the contract. He told him that she still had 6 months left. And they weren't going to let her out of it. According to Be Better, the situation got so heated it was borderline close to turning into a physical altercation. So obviously, if that's true, things are very, very toxic. I don't think I believe him, though. Like, obviously, I wanted to mention all of this because it's out there, and I know we would get comments if we didn't. But, like, why would anyone, some close source, go to him? Like, why?
I was wondering that earlier because you were the one that told me about his video, and I was so confused. Like, how does he have an insight in this?
Exactly.
He's like, I interviewed 17 people.
Like, you did. Okay.
And, like, why would anyone tell you?
Right.
But, okay, I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting take.
He also talks about how she, you know, Alex Earl was planning to respond to Alex Cooper and was getting ready and to respond to her video, but then she basically got talked out of it by her, like, management team and her dad, her investors, etc. Again, I have no idea if this is true or not. Now, Alex Earl's sister, Ashton, who's also a public figure, commented on Be Better's video and said, the sources are wrong. Basically being like, you're full of crap. This isn't correct. Again, I have no idea if that's true or not, right? Like, how are we supposed to know that? And Alex responded to someone who commented on her recent TikTok saying, well, we got the tea from Marcos.
Which is may sound confusing, but Steph with the deets, who covers a lot of this stuff, referred to Be Better as Marcos.
That's his name.
Yes.
So someone goes, well, we got the tea from Marcos. And Alex Earl responds, doesn't mean it's true. You'll see. With all that back and forth, people have been sharing the theories about what actually happened between the two of them. For example, Demois also shared that there is a long list of reasons Alex Earl has growing resentment towards Alex Cooper, but an exclusive source told them that Alex Earl didn't appreciate how Cooper treated her. There is also word out there that Alex Earl isn't going to say anything or is on the fence about it. And people have also been speculating that she's waiting to say anything until her reality show drops, which is that what you think?
I think that that's what's going to happen because I didn't even know this. Because in her TikTok video of her friend recording her, people keep bringing up the angle is not like a TikTok angle. It's like a horizontal TV angle. So I wonder if they're going to put that in the show and then and like use this drama and build up to hype up the show.
Probably.
But I also don't know if it's going to totally work because at that there's no set date. There's not even an official name for the show yet.
Yeah, when is this show going to... You think it's going to come out this year?
It says 2026, but yeah.
I think it's a horizontal video of her reacting to the Alex Cooper clip. So people are like, oh, it's clearly part of her show.
Which, I mean, that's like really weird. I did not even think about that until I heard others saying this.
Have you heard about the nail polish?
Yes. I almost put that in there. I was like, this is, how do I even write this?
So basically there's this, people are literal FBI agents out there, you guys.
Yes.
So someone figured out that when Alex Cooper posted her video being like, hey, go ahead, say what you got to say, her nails were different than other posts during that same time. When she was at Coachella. So they're like, clearly what that means is that that video was posted or was filmed a long time ago and it's been sitting in her drafts waiting to be posted for a while, which like could be true.
Right. But what, why does that even matter?
I don't know.
Like she posted it.
I know.
So
yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
I think my final thoughts are both of them. I think that Alex posting those things is definitely, or, you know, retweeting those things is definitely very immature. And in that sense, she kind of had it coming for Alex Cooper to say what she said. Do I think that she could have just not said anything? Yeah. I mean, I think that they're both kind of, I don't think they're, either of them are in the right, you know?
No, I do think it started with Earl just stirring the pot. You know, if you wanted to say something, just say it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for her to comment saying, okay, on it, now I can see it as sarcasm, but I'm also like, dude, you're engaging in it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Hey, what do you think?
My final thoughts, because I keep going back and forth on the sides. I don't really think we need a side until we know the full story. Also, as a confrontational person, my agitation is like literally all this could be solved by them just like talking to each other and just hashing it out. Like, why can't they just have a conversation? Obviously, there's resentment on both sides. Maybe they have had a conversation. That's the whole blowout. But It's like, if we're so mad at each other, just fight it out. It doesn't have to be public.
Yeah.
Just fight it out. Right. Obviously, someone's upset. And say it is Alex Earl. It sounds like she might be in the right for the thing she's upset about. Mm-hmm. But it's like, then just like tell her, I'm upset about this. Like, can we talk about this? I just feel like that's the one thing that really gets me is like, I hate when people just drag it on when you can just like have a conversation.
Just talk about it.
Just talk it out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you think they ever like run into each other?
Not like, probably.
Because, like,
probably
that's what I'm thinking. He's like,
they both live in LA. They both, I'm assuming, are both invited to different events.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably do run into each other.
That's why I really think that I don't think that Alex Earl was planning to. Obviously, I don't think she knew Cooper was going to post that video. But when she did, people are like, yeah, her management team and her team is like, don't say anything yet. Hold on to it for the show. But, you know.
It probably will be on the show. I mean, that's a smart business move.
Sure.
I'm going to watch.
I'll tune in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tune in for sure. I don't know. I think it's interesting, though. But I think that what's most interesting of it all is that everyone else is so invested. Yeah. I mean, including us, right? Yeah. They, like, literally just talked about it.
I'm not going to lie. I want to know. Because, yeah.
What's going on? Give us the answers. Which I don't know if we'll ever really get the answers, right? It's also really none of our business at the end of the day. So,
but they did dang, like, they did.
They're dangling in front of us. Yeah. Absolutely. They know exactly what they're doing.
Right.
So, that's that. What side are you guys on? Are you an Earl girl or are you Team Cooper? I don't know, man. I'm curious also to see what Sophia Franklin's book is about. Maybe I'll listen to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested in that.
That I'm locked in for. I'm very excited for that.
Did you listen to Call Her Daddy?
I didn't directly listen to it, but I was definitely locked in during the whole fallout because I think that was 2020, which, like,
no one had anything going on.
Anything other than my own issues, I was locked in.
Right.
But I mean, and they both have, like you guys said, they haven't, like, come out with, like, a full story about it all, but they both did tell their own sides. Mm-hmm. And I do understand both sides. However, I am leaning towards Sophia Franklin. With respect to Alex Cooper, I just think that in that breakup, I think I am on Sophia's side. So, but I'm interested to see the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that's it. Any final thoughts we need to share? Hash out?
No. We'll just have to see what happens.
We'll see. I don't know. It's very spicy, though. People are so invested in this. It's literally the only thing that I open my feed. It's the only thing people are talking about. So,
well, hopefully, you know, people that watched that were confused, we were able to break it down.
Yeah, because it was really confusing. I was confused. Sydney and I kept Haley, we were like, okay, this just dropped with this and this, and like, I'm still confused to some degree. But yeah, we'll have to watch if there's any updates.
Yep.
And I think that's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. We love you, and we will see you on the next sesh. Until then, keep it fresh. Bye.